You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It is myself, Mo Mootsy, and this week, you know, we've been doing the podcast for a long time now, BJ and I, and BJ's a veteran in this game, so before the playoffs begin, he's had to take a little load management just to make sure he's ready. But we bring you none other than the 24-year NBA executive and the one-year Hoop Genius Podcast front office expert, Mr. Scott Perry. How you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. Love that introduction, Mo. And like you said, our good friend is on load management this week. How yes, about that? I never thought I'd hear the phrase load management and the name BJ Armstrong in the same sentence.
it is wild. Because you know, he's not a fan of load management, but it's funny right, how the tables turn.
Exactly.
Shout out to BJ. He'll be back with us soon. Let's start this show off. Congratulations to UConn winning the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament. Fantastic. You know, I just feel like UConn and women's basketball is just undefeatable. You know what I mean? I just think that program there, it seems like every year they're the favorites to win. So.
Congratulations. Yeah, shout out to them. Congratulations to Coach Ariema, who I've met years ago. And this was his 12th title in the span of over four decades. How about that for like sustained
dynasty?
Excellence? And really was happy for the young woman, Paige Beckers.
Oh, yeah.
Just how she really has overcome adversity throughout her career, had multiple injuries, surgeries, and to go out on top like this as a champion. Kudos to her and all the hard work and her teammates, obviously, because she couldn't do it alone. But special moment for that group. So happy for the Huskies.
She's a real bucket getter. She's a real bucket getter. But speaking of, you know, being surprised that BJ's on load management, something surprised me even more yesterday, Scott.
Okay.
Stephen Curry against the Houston Rockets was held to just 3 points in the game. Now, it was a tough first half, but he managed to hit a crazy three to kind of end the half, saying, you know, you ain't going to keep me scoreless for a full half of basketball.
Right.
But the Rockets did an outstanding job defensively. You know, they were face guarding him with whoever was on him. Amen Thompson caused some real problems being the athlete that he is. But then you've got the versatility of other guys like a Dylan Brooks, for example, or a Torrey Eason. And if these guys get switched, they can still cover him. And then oftentimes, even off ball, they were sending two defenders at Steph. You know, Jimmy Butler was the beneficiary of some of that, getting some easy looks in the paint. But you'd rather give up a Jimmy Butler layup than Steph Curry getting open and heated from the three-point line. It was a fascinating game. And the thing that jumped out to me most, though, Scott, is we're a week away from the playoffs now. The intensity of this game. Obviously, Draymond Green always brings the intensity.
Right.
But it's like he was on another level in last night's game. He ended up getting ejected, a flagrant foul on Alperen Şengün, where he ran into him and elbowed him in the face. I thought he was kind of lucky to still be in the game at that point, because before there was an incident where they were kind of pushing each other a little bit and the ref gave him a warning and gave him a technical. But anyone else in that position gets ejected from the game. But Draymond's got a more lenient whistle, shall we say, from the referees due to his reputation. But the intensity of the game was fantastic. But what jumps out to you, because a lot of people have kind of overlooked the Rockets in a way. They've been the second seed the majority of the year, and they're not getting that same, you know, people talk about, can the Lakers win it? Can the Clippers win it? Can the Warriors win it? Can the Nuggets win it? Are the Thunder going to win it? And I just don't hear anyone talking about the Rockets in that way. Did last night's game signal to you that they are serious contenders in the Western Conference?
Can't take these guys lightly, Mo. And here's why. It was clear to me last night that Ime Udoka gathered his team and told them, look, this is a chance for us to make a statement. This Golden State Warriors team, four-time champion, has been on a huge incline as a team since the Jimmy Butler trade. And so they have presented themselves as a serious threat in this upcoming playoff race, them being the Golden State Warriors. So what better way for a younger team like the Rockets, to your point, who've kind of been either taken for granted or disregarded, maybe because of their youth, to go in to Golden State, because Golden State is still trying to win a lot of games now to move up in the standings. I believe they had it, you know, had an opportunity at least to get to the fourth spot. So Houston, what I like about them, and I believe we talked about this last week, they're tough, they're deep, they're athletic, and they have size on the wing. And you talked about the switchability of guys like Tari Eason and Dillon Brooks and Amen Thompson. So that size and athleticism caused some problems last night for the Golden State Warriors basketball team. And I believe it gave a game like last night, even though it wasn't the playoffs, but to your point, there was heightened awareness on both sides in both locker rooms last night in terms of wanting to, Houston wanted to make a case that, hey, we're getting ready for the playoffs and we're going to be a difficult out. And Golden State continued to show, hey, we're worthy of another championship run. It was awesome to see just how that young team responded. They didn't flinch. And we always talk about matchups. And that size and athleticism, as we look forward, if these two teams were to match up in a 7-game series, it would be very interesting because you got to give the Houston Rockets the edge in terms of the size and athleticism. Now, you give the experience, obviously, to the Warriors. So it'll be a fascinating matchup if those two organizations were to meet in the playoffs. But Houston's Achilles heel has been shooting the basketball from the perimeter consistently from beyond the arc. Last night they got a good, very
10
good
of 30.
production from Jalen Green, too. You know, making some shots from beyond the arc. So if he can be consistent from beyond the arc to go along with a guy like Fred VanVleet, now this Rocket team, because they're going to be extremely well coached and they're tough and they're going to be unafraid. I think they're going to be a difficult out. I am not taking them lightly. I just believe they're being underestimated because of the lack of experience and they haven't been in the playoffs in a while. So it's going to be a little new to them. But boy, watching them last night, they seem to me to be up for the fight and the challenge of this Western Conference playoff battle.
Well, the biggest question around the Houston Rockets is what you alluded to, the shooting the 3-point line from behind the 3-point line, but it's also their half court offense, because there were stretches in that game against the Warriors where it looked very stale. It was kind of taking turns with isolations. The offense, when Şengün is out of the game, because they like to operate it through him in the post, but when he's not in the game, their offense does become quite stagnant. However, what they can do defensively with their athleticism and their size, coupled with what they can do on the glass. Like last night, Şengün alone had 7 offensive rebounds. Amen Thompson had 3 offensive rebounds. Jabari Smith had 3 offensive rebounds off the bench. Steven Adams had 2 offensive rebounds. What they can do on the offensive glass. So even though they lack, outside of Jalen Green, true kind of one-on-one shot creators, you know, Fred VanVleet, he can get shot off using picks and whatnot. But even though they lack some of that half-court offensive creation, they can make up for it with that emphasis on the offensive glass. And that's been a point of emphasis for them this entire season. That's probably why they went out and signed a Steven Adams. That can help nullify that. And the question is, would you rather have the best defense and the best offensive rebounding and defensive rebounding? But I've got to give the Warriors credit. They did pull up 15 offensive boards last night. Kevon Looney coming into the game was amazing. But the defense and the rebounding being so good, it might help take the burden off the offense when it does slow down.
Look, the defense and rebounding, that travels. So obviously you expect to play better at home, but you go on the road. If you defend and rebound at a high level, you're going to have a chance to win games because you can utilize that defensive prowess and pressure to create easy basket opportunities in transition. They have the athletes who can get out after getting the stop and finish at the rim, get easy looks at the rim as well. Get better 3-point looks coming out of the flow, playing with a little pace. So I love when a team is excellent on that defensive end and excellent on the glass, because I know this much here. It is difficult, and I know we're going to get into talking about the Lakers here in a little bit too, and other teams and their big matchup against OKC, but it's difficult to play exceptional offensive basketball 16 times. And I say 16 times because it takes 16 times to win a championship. You're going to have a defensive presence on those nights where you're not shooting it quite as well. to allow your defense be the catalyst for some victories along that long journey to an NBA championship. So, give me that defense. I think this team will continue to improve offensively, and they'll be able to see it. The beauty of the playoffs is you sit back, and if I'm in the front office there, you're going to be able to really examine, okay, the impact our defense can have on games, and then what we may be lacking offensively, where it really hurts us. So when you go out and look to add to your roster, or you continue to develop those guys on your roster, you really know which areas on the offensive side you really got to get better at, and how to add to your team. But
And as time goes on as well, players like Amen Thompson will develop on the offensive end. You can already
no
see
question,
this
he's going to
season
get better.
alone, he's improved on the offensive end. That Euro step he hit
Yes.
over Jimmy Butler was fantastic. But it's also worth noting that last week, or just a few days ago, they took down the OKC Thunder as well. And once again, the difference maker in that game, they have double the amount of offensive rebounds in that game. And they put Steven Adams into the starting lineup, and he came away with 12 boards, six of them offensive. So the emphasis on the boards and the emphasis on defense, I think that the Rockets definitely do command some more respect compared to what they're getting, but they've got to get to the
No
playoffs and
question.
show us that they can do it, because the Western Conference right now, the OKC Thunder are the clear leaders, right? That's set. No one's catching them. But you've got the Rockets in number two. They've got, a 3.5-game lead over the Lakers, who are in third. So the Rockets almost are kind of set, and the Lakers are pretty close to locking up that three seed, because they've got a game and a half lead over the Nuggets, who have been on a 4-game losing streak. It's been real tough for the Nuggets. But behind them, half a game behind them, you've got the Clippers and the Warriors and the Timberwolves and the Grizzlies. And that's the Western Conference playoffs. So there's between the eighth seed and the three seed, there is 2 games separating them. The Nuggets, Jamal Murray, he was day to day, now he's out, and they're hopeful he'll come back for the playoffs. I watched the end of that Nuggets game against the Pacers last night. I don't know if you managed to catch it. Did you manage to catch it?
No, I
No,
did
well,
not
don't
get a
worry,
chance to catch
because
that.
you missed absolutely nothing. Because it may have been the worst 3 minutes of basketball I've seen Nikola Jokic play in years. And it's not so much a criticism on Nikola Jokic, it's without Jamal Murray, the way this roster has been constructed, because Pickett was playing really well, they didn't have Russ in the game down the stretch. There was no one there to play the two-man game with Jokic. You know, when the Nuggets get to the playoffs and the game goes down a stretch, Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic are going to play that two-man game. And either Jokic is getting a bucket, or Jamal Murray's getting a bucket, or they're going to have to force a double and a shooter's getting open. But Jokic was just out there on his own. And I feel like the way this roster has been constructed for Denver is suboptimal, especially when you have an MVP caliber player in their prime. But that final 3 minutes of the Nuggets game was turnover after turnover. Couldn't get stops. It was absolutely horrendous, horrendous to watch. And they're 3-7 over their last 10. They've lost four straight. If Jamal Murray doesn't get back soon, the Nuggets could be a first round exit this year.
Ooh. Well, look, you talk about the Eastern Conference and that grouping of teams from 3 to 8 right now
Yeah, in the West.
in the West, exactly. You talk about that grouping there. And there's not a whole lot of separation, obviously, as we can see by the record. So it's who's going to be playing the best at that particular time. Now, it's always hard to go against a great player like Nikola Jokic, but he can't do everything all the time. He's obviously going to need consistent support from his teammates. And because, to your point, last night he had an off 3 minutes. And look, that's going to happen. He's entitled to that, as much of a load as he carries.
Absolutely.
But it's, can I see them advancing? Absolutely, because they have experience, they've got championship pedigree, and they're led by, arguably the best player on the planet right now. But all the other teams that you just mentioned that we've talked about are all very capable. And it's just going to be which team can impose their will enough to play their style of basketball well enough and long enough in a series to come out advantageous. That's how I'm kind of looking at that grouping there. Clearly, now OKC is at the top, and I know you want to get into that. So let's get into OKC and the Lakers, Mo, because That was a really a fascinating watch for me yesterday.
I was watching a game, and I was talking to one of my friends while I'm watching the game, and I posed this question, and I would love to get your insight on this question, right? The game plan for the OKC Thunder, because they got absolutely torched by the Lakers shooting the lights out, especially early on in this game. By halftime, the
Yes.
game was pretty much over, right?
No question.
But they were happy. Well, I don't know if they were happy, but their game plan is they would live with Chet getting switched onto Luka on the perimeter and Luka knocking down step back threes over him or making plays for his teammates, so on and so forth. It was a very switch heavy defense, which we've seen from the OKC Thunder. But what I said to my friend was, if these two teams match up in the playoffs, I don't think this is how it looks. I think we're at a part of the season where coaches don't want to show their hand, especially given that OKC seeding is locked up. I don't think that they would run that same defensive scheme against the Lakers if they were to match up again in the playoffs. I know some of what the Lakers did, they kind of took from the playbook of the Dallas Mavericks when they had Luka and they beat the OKC Thunder in the playoffs. They did a fantastic job. However, I watching that think surely 64 and 14 OKC Thunder have got more up their sleeve when it comes to facing the LA Lakers than just what we saw in last night's game.
Well, Mo, what we know is playoff basketball. We talked about matchups. We know it's about matchups. We also know it's about adjustments and being able to make adjustments. And so even if OKC was planning to play that way against the Lakers, you have a game like this at the very end of the season, be it a regular season game, where you saw that coverage wasn't as effective. That doesn't mean they won't go back and try it to some degree, but it also, I'm sure it's in Coach Dagnall's Rolodex now, his mental Rolodex. Okay, this is what they did to us when we switched Chet Holmgren. I saw him switch Isaiah Hartenstein onto Luka Doncic. Did not work again. And they shot the lights out. Look, the Lakers shot 55% from three, 63% from the field. If a team's gonna shoot that good, Mo, I don't care how well you play defensively, you're gonna lose that game. But what we know in a seven-game series, that's not realistic. Those shooting numbers won't be high. You're just gonna lose that one particular game. So now this for sure they're gonna be, and I mentioned this last week. In the regular season, your game prep or coach's game prep that they're giving to the players is a one or two sheeter about personnel and tendencies and what they want to run. When you start the playoffs, you're getting an encyclopedia-sized book about your opponent. So you're going to know any and everything that they do, and the team that is able to play their best when being pushed to play to their third or fourth option of doing things, a lot of times it's going to come out on top because what you do best is really going to be focused upon and be by your opponent and be taken away a lot of the time, and they're going to force you again to your secondary and third and fourth options throughout a series. So whoever does that best a lot of times ultimately wins the series.
It was also interesting, you could tell that JJ Redick put a lot of thought into the game plan for this matchup in particular. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander didn't attempt a free throw in this game. The way they played their defense, they heavily zoned up their bigs. They
No
really wanted
question.
to stop the OKC Thunder and Shai in particular getting attempts at the rim. They would live with, the quick closeouts to the shooters. And every time you get a baseline drive, they'd bring the weak side defender to prevent any shot at the rim. So the game plan for the Lakers defensively was perfect, but this is why I said about showing a hand is now if these two teams meet in the postseason, the Thunder know what defense to expect and what the Lakers want to do because it worked. The Lakers don't know what the Thunder will run defensively because this one clearly didn't work, and they're going, as you said, to adjust to what's going on. But looking at the Western Conference, Scott, right now, there's eight teams. I'm not including the Kings and the Mavericks. And in fact, I'm going to say there's seven teams because I'm not going to include the Grizzlies, who are 3-7 in their last 10
Right.
and,
No, I agree.
fired their coach, right?
If all
So of those seven teams, can you rank in order from kind of your favorites to your least favorites on who you think is making it out of the West?
Ooh, that's a difficult one, Mo, because I like a lot of them. They are really bunched up. I tell you, again, it gets down to who's playing well at the right time. Watching this Lakers team yesterday, if this Lakers team shows up yesterday, and they don't have, again, obviously, I talked about them shooting such a great percentage, but even if it cooled off just a little bit, but what they were doing defensively, really locking down the paint, if you will, and forcing OKC, you know, taking away the driving lanes that OKC has made a living on a lot during the season, and in particular, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and live with contested threes. If they can consistently have that kind of effort defensively, you know, this Laker team is going to be very formidable because, again, we talked about four-time champion LeBron James being the leader
Luka.
of that group, and then obviously adding Luka Doncic, who was just in the finals last year. So they're just those two guys alone, their presence are going to force adjustments throughout the series for anybody that matches up against them. So I would have the Lakers, the team I saw yesterday, up there. I
So you
like
got
the
the Lakers
Timberwolves.
as the favorite in the West right now.
Because Golden State, if we had done this before I watched the games yesterday, I probably would have had it inverse. I would have had Golden State ahead of the Lakers because I trust what they're going to do defensively night in and night out. And I know that they can score. You know, obviously Steph Curry is a tremendous scorer. Jimmy Butler can get baskets.
Just as long as Amen Thompson's not around.
But again, we saw that matchup. So you know, I go back and forth with the Lakers and Warriors because of their experience. So
So
I would put
they one
them
and two.
there would be one or two, you know, up there. And then after that, for me, you know, I've been a fan of the Minnesota Timberwolves, and I like how they're playing down the stretch. Anthony Edwards, dynamic player, very tough player, unafraid. We saw them make a deep run last year to the Western Conference Finals. The trade happened. Now you got Julius Randle in place of Karl-Anthony Towns, and the addition of Dante DiVincenzo. They're playing well at the right time. So I like that group. I would put them right behind those other two teams we just talked about, because we're obviously having Houston and OKC above right now. We're not including Houston in this
So we
conversation.
no no we're ranking all seven of them, right?
Okay,
So
all seven. Okay,
all seven,
but
all seven.
oh, okay. Well, and then I probably would put, and I really like I, because of the
It's
lack of
tough.
experience, I'm going to put Houston right below. Minnesota, then, and then I'm gonna have the Clippers, and I like the Clippers. I like the experience. A healthy Kawhi Leonard throughout changes the calculus and maybe changes my order. And then the Nuggets probably would be next because I don't like that they're faltering down the stretch of the season like this and not playing well.
Just
That is always concerning for me.
to clarify, do you have OKC first or last?
Oh no! I'm gonna give OKC the edge. I'm not gonna. It's, you know, one game as dominant as the Lakers were against them yesterday, and obviously there's cause for concern and people. I'm not a big overreactor. OKC has been excellent for 7 months, and I just believe that, and they know what's in front of them now. They know they have to prove that what we did in the regular season, we're not just a good regular season team, but no, we're a team that's a true championship contender. In order to prove that, you got to win and at minimum get to the conference finals. So that's what I see still with this team. I like their depth. I like their ability to figure things out. So I still have OKC at the top. So I apologize that I didn't start there with them. So I just kind of took the rest of the conference because I've been so fascinated with this three through seven and trying to organize that group
But
because
should I tell you what it
all
is,
those teams are
Scott?
good.
It's a trick question, you know, trying to rank these teams. Do you know why? Because the Western Conference playoffs, in my opinion, is like a game of rock, paper, scissors. Are you familiar with the game, you know?
Oh yeah.
Paper beats rock, rock beats scissors, but scissors beats paper, right? So if you were to take right now three through five, right? The Lakers, the Nuggets, and the Clippers, you could say The Nuggets beat the Lakers. The Lakers beat the Clippers, but the Clippers could beat the Nuggets. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes,
It's all so
absolutely. No
matchup
question.
dependent
No
that I
question.
can't rank those three teams because it depends on who they face in the playoffs. However, what I will say is OKC are my favorite to win the West. But if I had to pick a team in that 3 through 7 range, I'm picking the Golden State Warriors because I'm getting eerily reminded of that 2022 run. The only difference is instead of Andrew Wiggins, you've now got Jimmy Butler, which makes them even better. So the Warriors, if it's not going to be the Thunder, I'm picking the Warriors to come out of it. You know, throughout the season, I thought that the Nuggets would get it together. But as you mentioned just then, is they are, you know, some teams find form at the right time, like the Celtics in their last 25 games have been amazing. The Warriors since their trade, the Lakers since their trade, so on and so forth. But the Nuggets are doing the opposite of that. They're doing kind of what the Cavs are doing. And tomorrow we'll talk about the Eastern Conference, but they're kind of letting go of the rope a little bit here at late in the season. And it's not what you want to see from your team.
No.
Especially when you've got Jamal out, and then he's going to have to come back and not only come back in time for the playoffs, get in shape for the playoffs, which is something that he's struggled with this season, getting healthy.
No, I can't stress that enough how important it is to be playing well going into the playoffs. You know, that is so key because just from a mental state of mind, your team is feeling that much more confident because they've been playing well and consistent. Again, playoffs is a new season, but you want to be in the right frame of mind going into these series, especially when the competition is so close, because I can't recall a time when really things are so much up in the air in a conference that I wouldn't be surprised. It's going to be so matchup dependent too. That's the fascinating thing, because when I can't wait to get on this podcast and talk once the seedings are set, and you can see the path that each team has to go. Then we can really delve into the matchups, and that therein lies some of the, when you talk about having good fortune on the way to making the finals and ultimately winning a title, is who you matched up with along the way. Sometimes a team that you're not don't match up well against is quote unquote down the other side of the bracket, and someone knocks them off for you.
It's like last
It's
year, the
helpful.
Timberwolves took out the Nuggets in the semifinals, and I don't know how that conference finals goes with the Mavericks and the Nuggets could have been back in the NBA finals.
No question. No question. No question about it. So it'll be fascinating to watch. And I think it's tremendous for the NBA that you have a conference like this that is so hotly contested. And to have these games this weekend that mattered, you know, Lakers,
They had them all on
OKC,
NBA TV
TV.
Though.
Exactly. Oh,
But
big win for NBA.
because I
Yeah,
wanted to
great.
get
Yeah,
to this
great
though,
win for
Scott. I
NBA
wanted to get to
TV.
this.
Exactly.
I wanted to get to this because we will be doing our playoff bracket. But looking at our March Madness bracket,
Okay, yeah, let's
we
go there.
predicted, well, I say we, Scott predicted a Florida Houston final.
We had that. Okay.
There
Oh,
we
that's right.
go.
I did have it. Okay, yep. All
That,
right.
but just before we get out of here, that Houston Duke game. Down the stretch, I have a very kind of niche question, I guess. Not so much niche, but you know, this is what I was thinking about whilst I was watching that, right? Kaman Malak for Duke, right?
Malawatch, yeah,
Yeah, is that how you
Malawatch.
pronounce it? I don't
Yeah,
know.
Malawatch, yes.
Malawach, right? 7 foot 2. How did he not get a rebound? Like, as a general manager of a team that's picking players in a draft, right? Because I really like him as a prospect. I'm a huge fan of him as a
I do.
prospect,
Yeah,
right?
I like
But
him as well.
how much, as a general manager, do you allow one game to affect what you've thought about all season long? Because people were criticizing him a lot after that one game. But how much does that factor in? Because this is the most important game of the season and on the biggest stage. But how does that weigh into your decision-making process?
You know, one game doesn't make a career. Again, it's just a snapshot in time. What I look for if a guy plays well or doesn't play well, did he compete? Did he give an effort? You know, so to your point, and I'd have to go back to the tape and look at this, him not getting a rebound, was it because of lack of effort? Or was it just that
Houston's game
Houston
plan.
did, like, Houston, did Houston do such a great job of keeping away where he wasn't able to get a rebound without climbing over something, somebody's back? And so this is a young, and he's a young player too. And you know he still has a lot of growth and development arc in his, you know, left in his career. So you can also look at it as a very teachable moment too. And so that's, again, I just look for
And
the
also,
competitive side of
if the
things.
refs don't blow that foul on Cooper Flagg, the foul when they're trying to rebound a free throw, and Duke end up winning that game, no one talks about it, and they move on happily to the championship game, and it
Absolutely.
kind of gets left lost in the pack. I do think that despite not being on the boards in that game, I think he's going to be a high draft pick, and I think the Toronto Raptors would be a perfect home for him. But that's a conversation we can have closer to the NBA draft. For now, Scott, we are going to come back tomorrow and look at the Eastern Conference because that was a nice deep dive in the West. Tomorrow, the Eastern Conference, I know for you guys, it's not as exciting, right? Because the play-in essentially Heat, Bulls, Hawks every year, rinse and repeat. But what's really fascinating, and this is what you can ponder before tomorrow's episode, is who the Pistons play in the first round and if the Pistons can win that first round matchup.
Oh yeah, that will be, look forward to talking about that tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Mo, I already know though where the conversation is going to end tomorrow. And you've already given us a hint into that by the t-shirt that you're wearing.
You know the
I
vibes, you know.
know the
Just trying to add
vibes,
another one
exactly.
of, trying to add
So
another one of these to the
I
collection. You know
know
what I
we're
mean? Trying to add
gonna
another
talk
one
about a
of
lot of different teams, but at the end of that podcast tomorrow, we're gonna end up in Bean Town.
Oh, you know the vibes already. Well, Scott, I appreciate you as always. Look forward to
Yes.
chopping up tomorrow. You guys subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts from. And most importantly, until next time, get buckets.